Thank you, Graham. Let me add my welcome to you to St. Alf's today. My name is Wei Han, and I'm a long-term member of this congregation, and it's a great privilege to be opening God's Word with you this morning. And yes, as my day job, I work for the Church Missionary Society. Now, writing sermons is an interesting thing. As you heard that parable read, you've probably realized it's about forgiveness. So life in the kingdom is about forgiveness, and I've been sweating on it all week, only to wake up this morning to find this book on Valerie's bedside table, Timothy Keller's book, Forgive. Why should I and how can I, published just a few months ago. Where was this book on Monday? Anyway, this morning I read the first chapter and a half. It's simply excellent. So forget the sermon, go out, buy this book by Tim Keller. That's my advice. I should have taken it on Monday. Well, let's come to God's Word together and let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a weighty topic, the topic of forgiveness. And for this aspect of life in your kingdom, we're going to need your help. So please come amongst us, help us to come to your Word and speak to us clearly and with power through your Holy Spirit. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I remember the day quite well, actually. It was a warm summer's day. It was the 1st of February, 2020. And that evening, when I turned on the news, I heard the story of Anthony and Angelina and Sienna, three siblings, and their little cousin Veronique. They were walking down to their local shops in the suburb of Oatlands in Sydney. They were aged between 7 and 13. And it was the first time that their parents had allowed them to walk on their own without parental escort down to the local shops. And they were going to buy some ice creams to celebrate one of the cousins' birthdays. They were chatting and they were happy. And there's a video of them laughing together as they walk. And then out of nowhere comes a speeding ute. It spins out of control, it mounts the pathway, and instantly four of them are killed. A cousin, Chabel Casas, spends 2 months in a coma and survives. Samuel Williamson David, the 29-year-old driver, is found to be on drugs and alcohol. Now, almost immediately in the news, if you remember, February 2020, Danny and Layla Abdallah, the parents of the three kids, offer forgiveness. A day later, Layla is reported in the news. She says, "Right now, I can't hate him, and I don't want to see him. I think in my heart, I can forgive him, but I want the court to be fair." In subsequent weeks and months, the family is much more articulate in their forgiveness and embrace of Samuel's family. Danny says outside court to Samuel's father on the day of his court hearing, "You have lost a son also through this." Well, where does such power to forgive come from? It will surprise none of you to remind yourselves that the Abdallah family are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us to forgive and who himself is the great forgiver. Now, this morning, I want to ask this question. Do you want to change the world? Do you want to leave the world a better place for having had you in it? Well, if you do, then it starts right here. It ends right here. In this issue of forgiveness. Let's come to the text. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew 18 and verse 21. Peter asks Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" See, the Talmud, the rabbis taught that you forgave up to three times, but if there was a fourth time, no more forgiveness. So what Peter does here is he more than doubles that teaching to seven. And he's saying to Jesus, "Lord, surely there must be some kind of upper limit. What if the sin just keeps coming to me? Are we to be the proverbial doormats endlessly?" And Jesus answers, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, there is no limit. Jesus isn't saying 77 times, and then if it comes at you a 78th time, then you can, you know, not forgive. No, for the follower of Christ, for the citizen of the kingdom of heaven, if that's you and me here today, our Lord says, forgive without limits. Forgive without limits. That's what a true citizen of the kingdom of heaven does. That citizen forgives without limits. How? Why? Well, listen to this parable, this story that Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began his settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. The text says 10,000 talents, an enormous sum of money. The New English Bible translates millions of dollars. If it was translated today, by one calculation, it would be about $400 billion. Josephus, a first century historian, records that all the taxes collected that year in Palestine came up to 8,000 talents. See, whatever the value, it's far above what anyone could have ever hoped to amass and pay. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Which sounds harsh, because it is harsh in the context of those times, and in actual fact, in many cultures still today, debt and responsibility to repay debt isn't an individual thing, it's a corporate thing. So if you can't pay, your family is responsible, your household is responsible. Well, in this case, they couldn't pay either. It's an impossible amount to pay. So the whole lot of them were sold as slaves to recover whatever fraction of the debt could be recovered. Complete intergenerational debt recovery. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Really? No, you won't. It's impossible. 10,000 bags of gold, $400 billion. No way. Hell will freeze over before you can repay that debt. So he's completely broken and desperate. We're meant to see that in the parable. He's on his knees begging the master. He's saying anything that can come out of his mouth in order to save his wife and children. At this, the servant's master took pity, cancelled the debt, and let him go. The word in verse 27 used to describe the master's pity here indicates a great depth and width of compassion. The master could see that there was no way this man could pay, and the master could see clearly what was in store for the wife and the children and the household. And so he exercises his power and authority to completely cancel $400 billion worth of debt and set them all free. Now you just imagine, firstly, that you're in charge of a mega business empire worth a lot of money, but things go wrong and you end up owing billions to your creditors and in taxes and maybe in fines because of some wrongdoing. And for some strange reason, everyone, the courts and ASIC and the ATO, they just wave it all away. They wave it all away. And, well, that's exactly what happens here. What a master. And in this parable, as in so many of Jesus' parables, we recognize immediately the character and the action of God. God is this master of lavish forgiveness. God, the sovereign creator of the universe, the sustainer of all life, the ruler of all history. God to whom all people and all things throughout all time owe utterly everything and more than we could ever imagine. This God sees the debt and wipes it all away. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we were created, each of us, for relationship with God in his world, but that we also thumbed our noses at God We rebelled and chose to live our own way, as if we were in charge and we were God rather than Him. And when we do this to God, the God who made us and made everything for us, we rack up, don't we, a huge, unpayable debt of rebellion and sin. That's what the Bible calls it. A debt we cannot possibly, not in a million years, repay. It's as if we were to inherit let's come back to the multi-billion dollar business empire. It's as if our parents built up such an empire and we were the heirs. But it comes with conditions. A mum and dad in their will to us say, keep the business model that you're inheriting. Keep the business relationships that you're inheriting. But we think we're smarter than mum and dad. They're so old-fashioned. After all, the world has changed since they founded this business empire. So when we take the reins, guess what? We run the whole empire our way. And we run it into the ground. People lose their jobs. Employees and shareholders are hurt. Customers and suppliers are left high and dry. And we rack up an unimaginable debt that cannot possibly be repaid. Now that is pretty much what happens when we live apart from God's playbook, the Bible. God created this world for us, for human beings, and gave us conditions to live by. And yet we chose our own way. We thumbed our noses as God. We say, stuff you, we'll do it our way. We're smarter than you. But God forgives us completely in Christ. That is what Christians believe. Now, you may be here today as a visitor. We get lots of visitors at St. Elf's. A special welcome to you. Maybe you've never heard before that this is the central good news at the heart of the Christian faith. If that's you, please listen carefully. Today's the day. Today is a fantastic day to hear and to believe for yourself this central truth. That no matter how much you've lived apart from God's ways, apart from God's playbook, no matter how much you've thumbed your nose at the creator of the universe and the creator of you and the sustainer of the universe and the sustainer of you, God is willing to forgive fully and freely. God looks at you like this master looks at his servant with great pity, with huge compassion. And he's willing to completely cancel the debt you owe. And all you need to do is believe in him, acknowledge him for who he is, your maker and your sustainer, and commit to live from now on in the light of that reality. Do you believe? Are you willing to hand over control of your life to God as master? To the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? All you need to do is say yes to Jesus today and then come and tell someone in church today. We'd love to pray with you and help you along the way. There's no single more important decision that any human being can make than to say yes to the Lord Jesus. I hope you will decide for him today. Now back to our text. Whatever we do, we must not follow the example of this servant. Verse 28. Now he's been completely forgiven. He's been set free. What does he do? He went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Now 100 silver coins is a reasonable amount of money, but by no means an impossible debt. The point is, it's infinitely less than 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold or $400 billion. He grabs him. He chokes him. He says, pay it back. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. It's not a big amount of money. It's reasonable, but if he works hard, he can pay it back. But the first servant refuses. Instead, he went off, had the men thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Outrageous, scandalous, evil beyond belief. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. They went and told the master everything. Then the master called the servant in.
"You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all of debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed, which, as we've heard, is already impossible. So therefore, he's going to be tortured forever. And then comes the kicker from the Lord Jesus Christ to us in verse 35. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Each of us from our hearts. Not seven times, not 77 times, but every single time. Brothers and sisters, please listen carefully to what Jesus is saying to us, his followers here. Jesus is saying forgiveness is deadly serious business. Jesus is saying forgiveness is a matter of eternal salvation. Jesus is saying forgiveness is the difference between freedom and life and being tortured in prison until you pay back what you cannot possibly pay back. What is this teaching? It sounds so hard because it is so hard. And my observation is that we can respond in two wrong ways. Here are two wrong ways to respond to this teaching. First, we think it means, because it reads like, salvation by forgiveness. We try and we end up trying to do the impossible because you have to forgive to be saved, so we just keep trying to forgive no matter what, so that we avoid the judgment of God on our own debt. But if you go down that path, you rapidly find that it's impossible. And then we probably give up in despair and just find it more convenient to ignore verse 35 for the rest of our lives. The second wrong way we can respond is that we think it's just all hyperbole. It's just Jesus exaggerating to make a point. After all, we know, don't we, as well-schooled Christians, that salvation is by grace through faith alone. So Jesus can't possibly mean that if we don't forgive, we're going to not be saved. He can't possibly mean that. Well, and then we end up thinking, well, do I really need to forgive? Because Jesus died for all sins, so he will forgive. He's the great forgiver. It's his job. It's not my job. I'll just forget. I'll just push the wrong into the dim reaches of my consciousness, and we focus on the forget part of forgive and forget. But Jesus still says, verse 35, unless you forgive from your heart, this fate will await you also. Both approaches are dead wrong. Jesus calls us to forgive absolutely and completely, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. You see, if we focus on the wrong against us, then forgiveness will always be difficult. But if we focus on how much we have wronged God and how much God has forgiven us in Christ, then forgiveness will be not easy, but instinctive. Not cheap, but natural. Not straightforward, but absolutely necessary. If we focus on how much we've been forgiven by the Master, it will be impossible not to forgive others who've wronged us by so very much less. In fact, then, our capacity to instinctively forgive from our hearts and our experience of peace and settledness in forgiveness is, in fact, no small measure of the indication of our maturity as followers of Jesus. Let me say that again. Our capacity to instinctively forgive from our heart and our experience of peace and settledness that comes with forgiveness is in no small measure an indication of our spiritual maturity. Now let's land this plane and bring it home for each of us.
what is the greatest wrong you've ever experienced? I'm expecting that the older you are, the longer your list of wrongs committed against you. You know, is it the way your parents failed to love and nurture you? Is it betrayal in a relationship? Is it the injustice or outright persecution at school or at work? Is it favoritism in a family or friendship group? Now, some of you who are younger may not have had the long list of sad experiences of being wronged against, but be patient, this too will come to you. It's a broken world we live in. I just turned 50 not so long ago, and the list is unexpectedly long, much longer than when I was 40, let me tell you. That's what working for CMS will do for you. No, there's nothing special about my experience. Forgiveness and pain comes with life. Well, maybe if you're younger and you don't have anything personal to think about and reflect on, think about some of the corporate wrongs. Perhaps you might reflect on intergenerational wrongs against you, the way preceding generations have frankly damaged the environment and the economy and left it for you to fix. That's a great wrong, isn't it? Now take a moment. Is there someone we or you need to forgive this morning? Is there a class of persons we or you need to forgive? I'm going to pause for 20 seconds for you to close your eyes and have a little prayer about that. I wonder if in that pause, some hurt came back to the surface for you, some grief or agony from a wrong committed against you, a debt someone owes you that has not yet been repaid. And now may I gently venture that if the hurt is still there, then you may not yet quite have completely completed that process that Jesus speaks of forgiving from the heart. Maybe you've simply forgotten and pushed it to the dim reaches of your memory. But now that you remember, actually, it's still there. I'm not saying it's easy. I acknowledge absolutely that there are those among us who have suffered very great hurts and who have been very wronged against. And we may well need assistance to process those hurts and harms. But with Danny and Layla Abdallah and their family, we recognize that forgiving does not mean accepting wrong behavior, but it does mean forgiving because we have been greatly forgiven ourselves by God. I asked the question at the start, do you want to change the world? Do you want to leave the world a better place for having been here? Well, this is where it begins. This is where it begins. Tim Keller, in the 1.5 chapters I read this morning, he says, forgiveness is the doorway into gospel life. Forgiveness is the doorway to the gospel. With receiving our own great forgiveness from Christ and offering our own lesser forgivenesses to those who've wronged us, in that way, the gospel moves and spreads all across the world. Just consider with me for a moment, if this church, or the church, capital C church, were more well known for offering and promoting forgiveness than for demanding its rights and advocating for its chosen causes. If evangelicalism as an international movement of the gospel were more well known for its deep humility, forgiveness, and grace, than for its strident advocacy. You want to change the world? This is where it begins. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your simple word. Thank you for the power of Jesus' stories. Lord, is there someone you want us to forgive from the heart this morning? Please show each of us, and please empower each of us by the sure and certain knowledge of the great forgiveness we've received from you. So now we are able to forgive. Lord, is there more that you want to show us of how much we ourselves have been forgiven by you, of the great depth and width of your love for us in the Lord Jesus, in covering over all our sins? Then, Lord, please show us this morning. Please show us as we come to your table to commemorate again, Jesus, your death and your resurrection. Lord, is there something in our church that you want us to change, to offer more forgiveness and grace to your world? Please show us, and please help us to be known as a people of humility and grace and forgiveness from the heart, that we might see a world come to embrace the same Jesus who has saved and forgiven us at such great cost. So we ask and pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make us worthy citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.